Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens.
Okay. Right.
While there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020 DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful for every one of you that will join us tonight. Let me apologize ahead of time that our live stream, we've been having a little issue with our platform for the live stream here, but we'll keep moving. Hopefully you can join us on the blogtalkradio.com venue there and share your comments and your conversation with us here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for you to join us here tonight. Now, as Talk Straight continues its lecture series on Black History Month 2022, we spotlight the contributions of William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, a leading voice of African-American educational strategies. In 2022, there is certainly a tremendous need to impart proactive ideas in the life and realities of urban American youth, families, and communities as a whole. So I hope you join me tonight as we engage our listening audience in proactive dialogue about the works of W.E.B. Du Bois, as he's called in short, and its application, his work particularly, and its application to urban American progress moving forward. The number here to call is 657-383-0944. If you will bear with me just for a minute, we will get our monologue together. And again, we encourage you to give us a call, 657-383-0944. We certainly hope that you can join us here, and we hope that our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, will be able to join us as well. We got one call in queue, and we see you there. Let's just let them know. Wave at you. How you doing there, sir? 3369. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. Just bear with us as we get through the rest of our monologue here, and we'll bring you right into the discussion there. All right, we won't be long with the monologue. Just want to give you, the whole point of this discussion is to give some history. But as we said in our first episode when we were talking about the father of Black History Month, that being Carter Goodwin Woodson, that history, the proper use of history is to educate, empower, and inspire. Okay? So that's what we hope to do, is to offer some information tonight that in 2022 can be used for educational purposes, informative purpose, and inspirational in nature. All right? We also spoke about Frederick Douglass, who is the father of the Black vote in America, historically. All right? Du Bois is another figure that made a major contribution. And next week, we will talk about one of his contemporaries that many try to pit against him because they were trying to go reach the same goal, but they went slightly different directions to get to the same place. And that is Brother Booker Taliaferro Washington. We'll deal with him next Tuesday, all right? But tonight, we're talking about William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. And we're going to look at some excerpts from his sociological piece known as Souls of Black Folk, all right, and try to take a few things from that. There's something in particular that I'd like for us to have some dialogue about. But you go ahead and give us a call, 657-383-0944, and we'll be glad to bring you in there. Look at about Du Bois. Born on February 23rd, 1868. Yeah. And he left this side in August of 1863. He was a sociologist, well-known sociologist. So he has a very strong frame of reference or construct, theoretical model for the socialization, the orientation socially, particularly of Negroes, as he was called during his time, but as we look at it today, African-Americans. Well, he offered a lot of information about the socialization of African-Americans in addition to their learning. Naturally, he was a historian, engaged in civil rights activities in his time, and he had a pan-Africanistic view of things. In other words, he looked at the origin of the original people and how they were related to those that were former slaves here in the United States of America. Okay? He was the editor of the Crisis magazine, which was a major informational piece, a literary work, right? He wrote in it as well as edited the magazine. Coming from Great Barrington, Massachusetts, you can see the influence, that northern influence. He grew up, you know, in a relatively tolerant and mixed group of people, a community, basically. People got along. But when he finished school, he graduated, and he went to Berlin and Harvard, where he was one of the first African Americans, in fact, the first, arguably the first to get a doctorate degree. Became a professor, taught at Fisk University, went to Fisk University, got his undergraduate degree there. And he later came back to try to teach there. And I would argue that this work, Souls of Black Folk, he describes how he was disheartened to see the condition of people and the lack of interest that many of them had in learning, even though they were free. In 1866, that's just after 1865, Civil War was over, 13th Amendment enacted, they're free. And Du Bois wanted to come and socialize them. Yet this concept he offered called the Talented Ten. His idea was that you take 10 young people, 10 individuals, you educate them, you empower them with knowledge, And those 10 reach back and get 10 more. They reach back and get 10 more and bring them up. And it's that way that you get there. You see, Du Bois felt like, or his theory was based on the notion that the way you bring real equality in terms of benefiting from the American dream and the freedom of the recent slaves is that you you make sure that they have education, intellect. Their intellect will bring them the freedom that they deserve and that they need. That was Du Bois. A lot of his work was geared toward proving that to be true. But he would come to learn that his biggest barrier was the very people that he wanted to help. Now, I made reference early, and we'll talk about this again when we pick up with Booker T. Washington, that a lot of times people pit him against Washington and say that there was a great debate between them about the direction that Negroes or blacks should go in to reach success in America. As I alluded to earlier, his whole thing was they should be intellectually driven and built up. Well, Booker T. Washington put together some things, and Washington believed that the former slaves knew how to build railroads. They knew how to help build the antebellum South. In fact, all parts of the White House, in fact. And therefore, they had a skill set that they can basically provide for themselves with. They didn't. No one had to teach them that. So his thing was, let's build that up. And he went around raising funds to create a trade school of sorts where they can do that. Well, Du Bois' idea was, listen, come on now. No, if they were to learn the language of the land, they were to educate themselves and become aware of the arts and the sciences, they can live a normal life like every other American citizen despite their ethnicity or their race. Then they will find equality. So he sought ways to socialize, orientate people to certain concepts and ideas. And you'll understand that what was happening here is that after the Civil War, they went through what was called the Reconstruction Era, really around, kicked off around 1870 or so. And at the time, interestingly enough, Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, who was the general who defeated the South, became president. And it was under his presidency that largely the Reconstruction era, unfolded. Well, Du Bois' whole idea is the more these people who were treated as animals, as slaves, are able to articulate themselves, understand things like business contracts and be educated, learn how to read and write and conduct math and things of that nature, they can do it on their own. They'll be all right, and they can be a part of the American dream. In fact, I made reference to the Souls of Black Folk. There's an excerpt in that book, Souls of Black Folk, that I found very interesting. It's where he describes, I'll read it to you just so you can understand. Quote, one feels his two-ness, an American, a Negro, two souls. Two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warrings, ideas, and one dark body whose dogged strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder, end quote. That may give you some sense of where Du Bois' idea was about how to socialize the Negro into the framework of American success and happiness and things of that nature. But he inferred that there were two identities. at some times you see yourself and you operate in the construct of being an American, wanting to be so, now that you're free, 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment. But then at other times, you see yourself as being one that has the scarlet letter or the stain of being a Negro and all the negative experiences that came with it. What Du Bois wanted to do was to rise above all the heat, the ashes of pain and suffering, and to allow people to see America and the world through a different lens by the empowerment of knowledge and information. Interestingly enough, in 2022, you just look at all across urban America, there are many young people who would argue they're similar to the way they were then. They're hurting. They're ill-informed, underrepresented, and that their voice is not heard. Interestingly enough, here we are in 2022, and this mindset, this thing is still there. There was a time where if you educated a black man, you could literally, a white man could be hung for educating a black man. Now, there's a fight for too many, not everybody, but far too many, to get African Americans to fully, collectively speaking now, I'm not talking about everybody, but there's a certain population, that there's a challenge to get them to embrace the importance and the value of education. Now, I understand that in our public education systems, historically, there are some problems. And unfortunately, as you've heard me say before, there's this thing of politicization of education. That's a problem by itself, right? But nonetheless, the opportunity to learn and the desire to be involved in the learning process is what we're talking about. And this is where Du Bois was in terms of focusing on intellect and intelligence and empowering people with information. Now, if you build a wall against opportunities to be informed about resources and methodologies, you make it difficult for yourself. If you turn a deaf ear to it, there's a battle sometimes between theological ideas and what is labeled as the world's knowledge and information. But there is a blend between both of them. There's a need for understanding, if you will, both books, the Bible and the educational documents. Yes, particularly with science, many find contradictions, or what appear to be contradictions. And they question whether or not that, you know, we should even give any a second thought to these things, because they're not in the Bible, not directly. At least anyway. But at the same time, when we talk about an individual learning to read, you know, at the age of 0 to 3, you learn to read. And again, when we talk about Du Bois' construct, his theoretical framework, it's a socialization process. We need to begin early at birth, creating a language-rich environment for our babies so that they are hearing words that have meaning and power that will lift them or guide them as they grow and develop in their homes. And I'm talking about in the home context now. Young people hear things that will be useful to them as they grow and become more independent and they develop socially. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's powerful to make sure that you have literary resources around your home. Sometimes people, them babies can't read them books. Well, read them to them. And as they get older, they develop an interest in what's in them, and they create a desire to want to read themselves. You see what I mean? This is part of that socialization. And this is one of the reasons why Du Bois is seen as a classical sociologist. Many of his theories and ideologies are employed by sociologists every day. when it comes to trying to reach, and when people are doing research about how to deal with what, again, as I made reference to in Souls of Black Folk, that quote about the two-ness of the Negro, or when do you identify with your American heritage and your right? And this is particularly a challenge in 2022. Or do you identify yourself as a Negro, as if you're someone other than an American? Are the two duplicitous? That's a good question. That's a question we'll strive to answer tonight. Okay. All right. Well, you've kind of heard the background here a little bit. Let's go to the phone lines here. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And we got a good friend on 3369, I believe out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and then a friend out of St. Louis, Missouri, there by way of St. Louis, 4600. Welcome, gentlemen, to Talk Straight. We're talking about W.E.B. Du Bois. I call him the master of black intelligence in urban America. Question coming.
Well, he had his accolades.
Okay.
But he wasn't the greatest man. Well, John Henry Clark said he was. But you know, everybody had the accolade. Du Bois was more on a what you would call, he wasn't technical. What's the other word? Right on tip of my tongue.
Okay.
He wasn't a technical like Mr. Washington was.
Okay. I think I see.
He was more in line with its general subjects.
Theoretical.
Basically what it was.
Yeah, you think about it.
Yeah, that ain't the word, but it'll come to me. But he was also, see, his talent is 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I think people misconstrued that, because Du Bois was not black. He was a mulatto. Mm-hmm. His father was white, and his mother was of African descent.
Okay.
There wasn't nothing wrong with that, but that's the way it was. He come from Great Barrington,
mm-hmm.
Massachusetts.
Right.
It was a town that every year, they would sponsor 10 of their best students,
mm-hmm.
to go to Harvard.
Okay.
On the high school students.
Right.
And he didn't get chosen because, I think, of racist reasons, if you want to apply that back to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he went to Fisk University.
He did.
Where he could have an opportunity to experience things that he wouldn't have had experience up in Massachusetts. And he experienced some blatant things out there. So, yes.
Well,
you know, at the time, everybody didn't experience the same thing. I have a hard problem for people who don't understand it. And
right.
I think that when people talk about their particular experience in their particular area, they usually like to apply the words we and us, whereas we and us only apply to a certain area of the country. So, but he was very notable. Very notable indeed.
Who was he, white or black?
Well, that's what he was saying, Joshua,
in
the context.
I'm talking to him. Was he white or black?
People didn't use that term back during that time in history. So you can't go back in the history. You can't go back in history and apply today's perspectives in the past.
Give him a second. Finish your question, Josh, then let him respond to you.
Okay. Somebody, because I already know, but something that I already know, but I just want somebody to tell me also.
Sure. So, Joshua, I don't know if you heard what St. Louis was trying to get across. And I wouldn't dare try to speak for him, but what I heard and understood him to say and correctly, is that he had mixed parents. In other words, they didn't say black. All right. Well, hold on 1 second. They were more apt to say colored if your skin met a certain litmus test, which he did. That's how fair he was. And that was the greatest indication that he had a father who was of European ancestry. Okay?
The word I was looking for, Ruben, was liberal arts. Liberal arts.
Okay.
I was saying he was not, he was white.
He was white.
Because of his parents. If you have the parent of you, doctory, is doing it, or your wife, is doing it, it's always going to be you that decides.
Okay. So, Josh, did you know that the determination whether or not a Negro slave was free or born enslaved was his mother? If you had a, for the lack of a better term, someone that was a dark hue and, again, met a certain paper bag test that they had, and she was darker than what they would consider colored, then you're automatically black, and the child was determined by the ethnicity of the mother, not the father. Not the father. So if we were to move him in today's time, I can see why some would say that he was black. But they didn't use that term then. They didn't use that term. He would be more of a mulatto or colored. That's how they would have classified him. Black didn't come into the Harlem Renaissance era with Claude McKay and others doing other writers who pushed that concept, that ideology. But so you understand what I'm saying, Josh? Yes, his father was a European, Caucasian, if you will. But it was in the zeitgeist of that age, if they had to classify him as being Negroid or Caucasoid, they would have put him in the Negroid class because of his mother. Does that make sense to you?
I get you.
Okay.
You know, even on this terminology of talented tenth, it has been said that he was applying to blood mixture, not 10%, which would have produced 10% of the population anyway. And that's about what it is now.
Hold on one second. Let's give him an opportunity to finish, and then you can, you know, you can respond when he finishes. Let's hear him out so we can understand what he's saying, okay? What were you saying, St. Louis?
Well, yeah, that's what some had said is what he was referring to when he was talking about the talented tent, was that people was mixed with other ethnicity.
Yeah.
And you see that in other areas. Believe it or not, you see it in race horses. You see it in cattle. Other areas. So that might have been, you had some. I mean, it's a thing. Jimmy the Greek spoke on it and got castigated about it when he talked about the breeding. And that's why they bred strong slaves, quote unquote, the male slave. What did they call them? Where start with a B? The buck.
They called the bucks and brute, yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they bred they found the strong male, black male, quote unquote, and they bred him with the women. You may have sired dozens of children, and they came out, they was born with the features that he had, strength and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you mind if I let me bring Josh on? Go ahead, Josh. What were you going to say, sir? Go ahead. What were you trying to say now?
That's what I was trying to say. Like, it's always, like, you always try to, if your dad is that color, you are always that color. And sadly, if your the wife is a different color, you don't vibe with the wife. Sadly, you can be mixed with her, but sadly, you it's been like 45 years now, at least 45 years that you always go with your dad.
Well,
and stuff like that.
Okay.
And his features and everything.
Well,
well, in some society, that's right. And Ruben, I have to kind of push back on you because they identified the son took on. Well, you know, it was dependent. Let's say in the Indian tribes, for instance, in the Creek and others, the baby took on the status of the mother.
I hear what
no matter
saying.
Who the father was.
Yes, sir, I hear what
then
you're
in,
saying.
Then in others, it went by what they call blood quantum.
Okay, I hear you I hear what both you guys are saying.
Now, let me give you one other example, too, real quick. I had a friend, Nigerian. And his father, either his father or his grandfather, it might have been his father, was a high-up person in the area where they live.
Okay.
To the status of a chief.
Mm-hmm.
And parents used to bring their daughters to mate with him. And he had sired over 100 children because of that. They wanted their child, their children, to give birth to a child that's of his lineage.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's some society, those way things go down.
But you understand in the context of Du Bois, his socialization, and the group that he was working to try to empower, that was not the culture, the dominant culture, right? And, in fact, when we think about Souls of Black Folk, one of the arguments that he's making there is the challenge for the free Negro to identify himself as an American. Because of these laws, really, after slavery was after slavery was made illegal, then came black codes. And when black codes were struck down in 1868, I believe it was, then came Jim Crow laws. So there were constantly... Not that it was right. I'm not suggesting it was right, but I'm simply saying that this is what...
It was societal norms.
Yeah, it affected people's behavior, you know, their social interaction.
And you know what else?
It
did not just exist with whites. Blacks were the same way, too. A dark complexion black family did not want their sons or daughters marrying light complexion, what you call light complexion blacks, quote unquote. That even still exists today.
It existed, right? There were laws against what was called miscegenation, mixing of races, marrying, intermarrying with white and black. That doesn't exist today.
But I'm not saying whites now. I'm saying light-skinned, quote-unquote, blacks.
Yes, sir, I hear what you're saying. Josh, you're trying to say something.
There's another thing, though.
Huh? What'd you say, Josh?
We weren't even made in this country.
You say you wasn't in the country?
We were made in Africa.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? The Indians really, if you truly want to go back, were in this land. They said, "Oh, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that." And unfairly, more and more came. It was the white.
Okay.
More and more came, and they started killing.
Okay. Hey, Josh.
They started killing.
Okay. Josh, I don't mean to be rude to cut you off, but I don't want to get too far away from our topic tonight.
What they did.
I understand what you're saying, sir. I do. We're joined by PR Illinois, Mama D, as well as Pastor Wild, our co-host. And we're speaking about W.E.B. Du Bois. I refer to him as the master of black intelligence in America. Now, 8112, I read an excerpt from his book called The Souls of Black Folk. And I want you and Pastor Wild to hear this. And I want to ask you all a question, because here we are in 2022, and really we looked at 2020, some of the unrest that went around the country, some of the cries that we heard. I think we hear the same sentiment that Du Bois wrote about back in 1860-something. Okay? Here it is. He says, quote, "One ever feels his two-ness, an American, a Negro, two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring ideas in one dark body, who God's strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder." What do you think about that, 12? Do you think that there are people who struggle with their identity in terms of whether or not they're an American or African-American or black or anything of that nature?
They're just about the same category as you and I. They were stripped of their original identity and given a name or a subtitle that was placed upon them by the color of their skin, is what I think.
Okay. Interesting. But do you think that's a challenge today in terms of people really being able to identify with being an American? Versus, when we say African-American and so forth and so on.
What I think, it goes back to what I said originally, and then it follows pursuit generation to generation.
Okay.
I think these days, even the younger in 2022, because they were taught, everybody's been taught something by someone.
Right.
And when your forefathers, they weren't even holding hatred. They were defending themselves for life.
Okay.
And life is something that didn't just, your masters or someone gave to you, God gave you that, your parents, rather, he designed them to give you that. So when it goes from generation to generation, each one teaches the other generations, and somehow we've got caught lost in the rafters of this, is what I think. Because even though we've instilled different things of the moderate generation to our children,
right,
whether they believe it or not, there are certain things still go back to their forefathers.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let me pivot to Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace, I saw where you had a young man out there with you the other day as you were doing your thing and ministry and what have you in your locale. If we had to ask him, Pastor, how would he identify himself? Do you think he'd be challenged, or would he be clear about who he is, and you know what I mean, and what his identification is?
Well, I think Pastor Doctor, praise God, you recognize the young man. He's one that's paying attention. He's seeking.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
You did see that. That's awesome, mm-hmm. man. And I think because of that, he's being reached, and to be able to reach someone like that, that mm-hmm. If you notice something that he said, he didn't want me to put it on there, and so I did. And he was stunned, so he didn't say anything. And I was just okay, I'm giving him a shot to say something, and
right.
by the time I did, he said a few words.
Mm-hmm.
He said something to the effect, "If you keep doing what you're doing," he said, "you're all right." In other words, he's paying attention.
Right.
That's the message was he's come a long way.
Okay.
So wasn't it Josh?
No, we're talking about someone that was here in Nashville. Pastor was out working in ministry in that around Nashville. We're making reference. Josh is on line with us though. Josh is on.
Yes.
Line.
Hey, 8112, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing okay, Pastor Waller, by the grace of God. And hey, Josh, and even especially
hey.
Pastor Dockery as well. Didn't mean to
all
ignore
right.
you. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm just tuning in, so I'm just trying to hear. I don't have a whole lot to say because
okay. You
briefed me on the topic, but I really don't know.
We appreciate that. Well, just stick with us. We got another about an hour and a few minutes here, so just hang in there with us. Hang in with us. All right, Pastor, you were saying in terms of the young man, he did seem like he was just being a participant observer more than anything else, right? But
yeah,
I'm curious.
One,
to know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
he's
the one wanted me to put it on there. He said, "Would you put it on there for me?" And I told him, yeah, because he wanted to say something. And he just he acknowledged when I started talking, he was aware that the things that he was doing, that he was participating in, you know, he showed the shirt off, he showed the hat off, and he turned around.
Right.
And he said, "Oh, that was not of my instructions. I was just following this. I was following with him." And so
okay.
I'm saying that, yes, just think, if he didn't have anything that was before him
mm-hmm.
to see evidence of an example, that's a good example, because those
okay.
kids are caught up and they're lost. But you can tell, as you just said, that he's coming around slowly.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just patience, you know, and yes, I say they're irreachable. And that's
okay.
the beautiful part of man. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I just say, but you cannot flodge in front of them because they do not go for no anything. And so
okay.
I really appreciated the brother more than he even knew.
Okay.
So I'm just grateful that you brought that up, man. You know,
okay.
If we out there where they are, I believe somebody is willing and ready to turn their life around, and that's the mission. You know,
that's
the mission.
I'm gonna go back to Josh, but I want to iterate the fact that our whole goal here is to relate what Du Bois's contribution was to today, just like we did. We strive to do that anyway in our conversation about Frederick Douglass and Carter G. Woodson. And next week, we'll focus on Booker T. Washington. But today, we're looking at Du Bois. So, Josh, let me come back to you. You're a young man. Do you feel comfortable with identifying yourself as an American? Or do you feel as though you should qualify yourself by some other description?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I was raised here, so of course I'm gonna be like, yeah, I'm raised here, yay. but in a way, it's like, no, my ancestors and their ancestors and all that.
Okay.
They were raised in a different spot, so
okay.
I should recognize that and be glad that they were able to do so much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I haven't been to Africa ever yet.
okay.
they have done so much.
I see. Okay.
May I say something?
Sure.
Josh, are you referring to what I was calling our forefathers?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, now, Josh, let me say something now. You know, you don't have to be ashamed of the contributions of people in America who were once called slaves, perhaps, or have direct ancestry to slaves, former slaves. They were called Negro, colored, black, Afro. They referred to themselves. We went through a number of different connotations and descriptions as a subgroup or ethnic group, right? But that's what I'm saying today, guys. There are a great many of people, and I'm not just talking about 8112 young children. There's a lot of chronologically grown adults in their 50s and 60s who struggle with, you know, identifying themselves. Some of them have degrees, as you know. And it doesn't seem to – that's interesting, because what Du Bois was suggesting is that through intelligence, you would be able to cut through all of that. And it would be no question as to how to identify yourself, right? You don't have to reject anything. Go ahead. Oh, somebody's going to say something.
No, I was.
Okay, go ahead, Josh. Go ahead. You want to respond to that?
You don't have to have all of these diplomas to be great.
Okay.
You don't have all these diplomas to be great at something.
You really don't
have to be all these diplomas.
Wait a minute, Josh. But now, go ahead. I'm cutting you off. I'm being rude. I apologize. You don't have to have diplomas to be great. You're not suggesting that we should discourage anyone from intellectual development, though. Education. And achieving. Okay. Because, see, Josh, that's what I mean. I've heard some young men make the argument, there's a lot of rich people that didn't go to school. That's true. That is so true. It's some rich black people or African Americans that didn't go to school. That's true. However, should we discourage the idea of educating one or socializing one to embrace education as a primary tool for self-development and guidance? What do you think about that, Samuel?
Of course. I think of course.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, this thing on your hair, that you got if you got biological makeup.
One second, Joshua. I asked St. Louis a question. I'll come right back to you, okay? Give me one second.
Okay.
Don't lose your thought. I'm sorry, St. Louis. Go ahead.
Well, to backtrack a little bit, just like Muhammad Ali, better known as Cassius Clay early on, he went where? To look up his ancestors.
True.
He went to Ireland.
He went to Ireland.
He went to a city called Eunice.
Okay.
And they had a great big welcoming for him.
Okay.
All white city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of his genetic tree. And he paid them just as much homage as he would any other part of his genetic tree to do things right. But people can do what they want to.
Sure.
Now, as far as, and you know, I'm not going against anybody. Nothing was stripped from slaves that was brought here. You know, only 5% of those that came to the Western Hemisphere came to the America, North America. And, you know, you today, Ruben, you live on a continent called North America.
True.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. You live on a continent called America. Canada is North America.
Okay.
Mexico is Central America.
Okay.
Then you got South America, which consists of Brazil, Argentina, and other states.
All right.
And your nationality is a United States citizen.
Well, Can I say
and
this?
That's just the way it goes.
But stay right there. Don't go nowhere, St. Louis. I'm going to say like R. Kelly now. I know a lot of people hating on R. Kelly, and they upset with him because he's done some bad things. But hold on a second. I'm coming to you, Josh. But he said, I'm from the Chi-town dirt. I grew up from Portis. Now I'm wearing Versace. So I'm from Chicago, man. I born and raised Chicago. Here I am in Nashville, Tennessee. Been here going on 35 years now, just a few more months. 35 years, Pastor Wallace. Been fooling around here in Nashville, Tennessee. But, yes, I am an American. I'm grateful for my experiences. One day I'm like, Josh, I want to go to Africa. Josh, you take me with you when you go. Go ahead, Josh. You got the floor.
The thing is, there's so much stuff you can do without a degree. So I understand. If you either are convicted with what you want to do as a degree, or you just don't want a degree, then that's fine. Like, but if you want to go to college or master's or even more than master's, that's great. That's great.
Okay.
But I'm just saying you don't have to do all that stuff to be a citizen and to be well kept and to also be a citizen that has knowledge.
Okay.
Knowledge is the best weapon. That's true.
Joshua, may I say this in response to what you're saying? You're right that you don't have that. You don't need formal education to have self-worth, to be respected, be recognized, right? Here's what education does. It's a process that involves teaching and learning. The question is, who's teaching and what are they teaching? And who's picking up this information and learning what, right? Now, formally, I'm one of those who advocate that our young people, and I would love to do this, Pastor Waller. Y'all know that we're striving to one day be able to fully open up that learning institution that has certain principles that it's driven by to ensure that those who come through it will be able to take over the world. Take over the world one day, Joshua. All right? But you're right. It is possible for education to cause somewhat 8112, some class strife between the educated and the uneducated. I hate to use that term, that phrase, but that's the best way to describe it. Do you think that's part of the issue that Josh was talking about?
I think if Joshua said that, you don't have to have certain degrees to be educated. Because as I've heard, even a dummy can learn. Because that dummy you think is a dummy has become so productive in life that a lot of people don't see that dummy.
I see.
And it still goes back to what I said again. When I said that our forefathers were stripped, they were stripped butt naked of a whole lot of many things, men and women. Men were stripped of their self-worth and pride. As well as, especially the women. They were raped, belittled, and everything. So on that note, I think that it was horrible, but I think that some of our forefathers, that generations down, has paved the path to where our grandchildren, children, and things of that nature, now they have the opportunity You can be whatever you want to be. The brightest star in the sky. And because a lot of them, I cook soul food. A lot of them say, oh, that's slavery food. Well, you know what? That's the food a lot of us grew up on, baby. Either you eat it or you don't. Either you choose to feed your soul and your mind and body, or you choose to starve. That's life.
Say what? Okay.
That's life with many of things. I use the word food, but that's called life. Either you feed your mind, your body, and your soul, or you choose to starve. Sink or swim, which you choose.
Well, no.
I don't want comments to just be interesting because they're very realistic to me.
Sure, I got you.
You know what the people call soul food brewing was southern cooking.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Now that is exactly what I was trying to the dummy and everything like that. I just did it in a different way.
And me too, Josh. I have my own little way of saying things. Pastor Dockery helped me out with it sometimes, but it's okay. We cool.
Like there are so many different ways we can say a song. A song can be said in so many ways.
So
if a song can be said in so many ways, then also we can eat different ways.
That's right.
But still eat the same food. Exact same food.
Well, now, Josh, let me stop you right there. Yes, we can eat different ways. But I sure hope I don't have nobody come sit in front of me and dig their hands in the corns and start eating. Please don't do that. But doctor's going to have to help you out.
Wait
please
a minute. Say that again, Pastor Dockery, please.
I hope don't nobody sit in front of you. You got a right to eat the way you want to do. Okay? This is America. But please don't sit in front of me and stick your hand in a bowl of corn and start eating it with your hand. Because I'm going to get you a spoon.
Well, you know, you say you are African-American, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir.
Well,
I remember something that they used to eat, and it looked like mush. I can't use the
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they would dip it, and then they would use their fingers.
Well, now, don't do that.
And everybody ate from the same bowl, so either you are or you are not. What?
No, wait a minute now. Hold on now.
Because if somebody stick their hand in a bowl of food that I put on my plate. Oh, my goodness.
Well, don't you come to my house with your hand on my plate.
Well,
don't you come to my house putting your hand in no food like that now. Come on now.
I'm not playing.
Well, let me say this, guys. We're at about the top of the hour. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. I call host Dr. Walker. Walla is on with us. Excuse me. We're talking from the topic, W.E.B. Du Bois. Master of Black Intelligence in America. Our primary thought here is that Du Bois believes that, Josh, with education, with intelligence, you can overcome anything and you can go anywhere in the world, okay? And guess who we're joined by, Pastor Wallace? You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. Guess who's
well, you might
on
as well
the line?
Kevin.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, sir. Hey, y'all. Hey.
Hey.
Well, all right.
Hey, Josh.
I got lucky tonight.
I started sending my Rottweilers after, but I'm glad I didn't have to get a Lucy on it, though. But welcome to our discussion tonight. Yes, that's us, the one and only. We on with St. Louis, with Murfreesboro, with Peoria. Jacksonville, Florida, and Pastor Wallace joined us as well. Let me ask you this. That, we've been talking a lot about today, because ain't nothing we can do to turn the hands of time around. When Du Bois lived in his day, Josh kind of alluded to that. He had his challenges. But today, we got challenges today. Now, Is it possible for us to embed a value? Now, I know Josh saying that, you know, having a degree don't make you special, make you better than nobody. But is it possible for us to really, on a collective level, embed the value of education in a way that it will override crime, poverty, despair, health disparities? 72, is it possible?
Can you hand me my beer out of there since you went there? And what you doing?
Okay. Yeah, I believe it's not only possible, but it's necessary now. In society, even, there is an embedded value.
Can you help
which separates some people from the rest. Now, does it make you better? No, because I think a person should be judged by their moral and character, which defined or outlined by God in the Bible. But in general, just speaking, so yes, it's necessary and possible.
Yeah. Well, now, they say it's better to be assumed to be ignorant than open your mouth and remove all doubt. A lot of times, there are people who are just not informed about the existence of certain facts, and they're not aware of certain customs. If I go to a foreign country, I'm going to get one of those foreign language courses. What is it called? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where you learn Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go there and be lost. That's not to say that I'm less than a person, but I would certainly be confused and wouldn't know how to articulate myself or communicate myself with people. You understand what I'm saying, 72? So,
yep.
Nothing wrong with
what country? What country you plan on going to?
Well, I'm not going anywhere right away. I'm just speaking in general. If I were to go,
let me tell you something. Those people know how to speak English better than you do, probably.
Say that again now.
I say they know how to speak English probably better than you, unless you go completely off the beaten path. And I don't see you doing that.
Well, they might. They might speak English better than me. But I'm saying I'd like to speak their native tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could. But if you stay in where you would be expected to stay, being a tourist, you would stay in a hotel that prepares food that's palatable to your cuisine. You could go out in what's called a chop shot or a local restaurant and eat, because your system wouldn't take that type of bacteria right off. You'd be sick.
Well, now, see, that's the thing right there, St. Louis. I don't want to be limited as to where I can go. That's why knowledge empowers me to go wherever I want to, because I have an understanding about how to get along there, how to get in, how to get out, what to say. You understand what I'm saying? That's the thing.
That's why it'd be best to go on a tour. You wouldn't go off walking by yourself, because you,
I'm going to tell you something.
Like
when my wife and I were in the Bahamas, this fella came up behind us, and I think he... Growing up in Chicago, it was clear to me he was trying to pull a number where I'm going to put a player boo game. So he played like he was crazy. You understand what I'm saying? And so guess what I did? I played crazy with him.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. If you're gonna go to those places, you know, you go to another country and like that, like for instance, some countries in Australia, maybe Africa.
Okay.
You want to go on a tour. You don't want to go walking off by yourself. Egypt, for instance.
But you know, I'm alluding to is a whooping is a whooping no matter where you are in the world. And don't nobody want no whooping. So all these folks that playing crazy, they really ain't crazy. They don't want no whooping. So that's a universal language right there, I think. I could be wrong. But okay. Well, listen, let me ask this question to you guys as we move forward. 657-383-0944. Give us a call. Give us a call. We'll be happy to entertain you. 8112. Tell me how much you know about Du Bois. And then here's the flip side to the question.
How much do I know about who?
Du Bois. Hold on. Here's the flip side, though. I'm going to use Pastor Wallace. Here's the flip side to the question, though. How much do you know about William Edward Bernhardt Du Bois? Here's the flip side. And how much do you care?
I don't know jack about what you said, and I don't care, and I may care if I knew to know about it. So that's
wow.
That.
Wow.
Call me what you will. I'm going back to what Josh said. Everybody ain't got to be having no kind of degree to know about everything.
That don't make you no bad lady. Don't make you. Let me ask Josh. Josh, how much you know about Du Bois, and how much do you care?
The first one, I know a little bit about Du Bois.
Okay.
And the flip side, I don't really care because now this is a different, a whole country, city, whatever, and we got to do what we got to do nowadays.
Interesting.
So,
okay, let me take that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If he was alive, that would be different. But he's not alive.
I heard that, Josh. I don't know.
Wait a minute, Josh. Wait a minute. Now you're trying to watch yourself, Josh. Watch yourself. Okay, Josh, let me take this around. What about it, 72? How much do you know about William Edward Bernhardt Du Bois? And on the flip side, do you really care? Does it really matter?
I have a vague memory of W.E.D. Du Bois, yeah, I care the foundation that he laid that led to other rights that African Americans have today. But as far as today goes, there was a great point he's passed on, and we have overcome some. I mean, we're not where we need to be, but, you know, things have gotten better. So,
interesting. Okay.
I think it's important to care enough to remember some.
All right. Pastor or St. Louis, would you all like to respond to that question? I know St. Louis is familiar with it. He kind of shared with some of his knowledge of it. But I guess the real question is, how relevant do you see his contribution? He's a well-known, when you do PhD work, he's considered to be a classical theorist in sociology, right?
He was a socialist.
Yeah.
Actually, I put more emphasis on Booker T. Washington than it was him. Yeah. But
go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, he was a socialist.
What?
He said he was a Pan-African, but that there is dead.
Wait a minute.
Because people.
Go ahead. Hmm? You said Pan-Africanism is dead? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Pan-African is dead. People in Africa don't even believe in that themselves. That's something that groups here in the United States and maybe some other places, it was talked about at one time, but it didn't go no place.
I see. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Interesting. I'm gonna answer my own question if y'all don't mind, but I asked that for a reason, because in the context of what I consider to be a very useful tool, I'm gonna offer. Pat, you wanna come into that before we move on?
Yeah, I was just wanted to ask the doctor. I said I don't know nothing about him, but I know that any time a person made a difference, he's a part of the problem or the part of the solution. So
wow,
if he was part of the problem, he made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know, was he a difference maker, and did he have a compassion, a heart of concern, you know, for his own people, you know? And I can say that because if you get honest with yourself, the thing about honesty, it starts with oneself. I can be in a state of denial and pretend like certain things didn't take place. But since I do know that some things did take place, and it was like as if certain people was not even considered as human.
Mm-hmm.
And when people went through the process to set examples on how they was able to stand and get through some things, So that's why I say if he was a difference maker, then that means something. Even though he has passed on, but you're still bringing him up as if it must be something about him that one can utilize and say, well, let me see if I can just continue to press on, because he didn't give up on whatever they was dealing with back then. I don't know how long ago you're going back with him.
Okay.
And thing, but because he's a difference maker, I think that's what we need to leave a legacy of, knowing that we was not denying our own, you know what I mean? Because and that happened. A person would just say, well, look, I'm not even going to even claim that I'm this color, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I remember that the word of God said that the tree is known by the fruit it bears. And so, you know, this is the thing about it. So I don't get into a lot of that. I just appreciate knowing that I'm glad my head is no longer bowed down like it was for so many years. And I, you know, I didn't know nothing but what was down. Down full speed ahead. So I'm definitely raising up. Thank you for sharing about him. I just didn't know nothing about him. I was too nod for 20 years of my life.
You.
So
I got you.
Now on the flip side, I'm spending the second half of my life and I'm interested in learning things I heard. So, amen.
Yes,
praise God.
Yes,
praise
God.
Amen. Praise the doctor.
I'm sorry.
I said, Pastor Dockery. I said, amen to Pastor Wallen. I said, Pastor Dockery.
Oh, well, thank you.
Praise
thank
God.
You.
Yes,
well, listen,
I was going to ask you, if the children, I didn't even know nothing about that. I'm 58 years old, and I ain't going to lie to nobody because I'm older than nobody, including myself.
Right.
My point is, if I didn't know about the man you was talking about, what makes you, I'm not questioning what you think.
No, you asked a good question. You coming down my street
right
now.
A lot of young folks in 20 that's been born in 1978 on down.
Right.
I'm sorry, on up. No, but they like, I'm like, they keep going back into the days when we weren't born and this
right.
and that.
Right.
So
right.
I feel it's relevant when we educate them on something they know something about.
And then
those that want to get the other knowledge, food of thought, will look into certain history books. But a long time ago, they made certain books for certain folks to read.
Okay. You're coming.
So
right
a lot
down.
Of knowledge that came from our descendants.
Yes, ma'am.
And I ain't come from Africa, by the way. But I'm just putting it out there. They have no knowledge as well as myself. So how you going to tell them something, call them ignorant, I'm ignorant, because I have
no
knowledge.
No, don't call yourself that.
What
don't
you
that.
Talking about?
Don't do that.
I'm only ignorant about it because I had no knowledge about it.
Yes,
education is important, food for the thought, knowledge is wisdom.
Okay.
That's right. I'm just not hearing it. 8112.
Me too. How you doing?
Can I say this?
Well,
I'm glad. Go ahead, 72. I'm glad you all were chiming in like this because that's the reason I brought
it
up.
You know, my mouth gets too big.
I'm giving it to you.
Well, what else about Du Bois?
What boys?
Do people not know?
Let's say something for a second.
Go ahead, Josh, right quick. Go ahead.
Okay, if we can do it without him, why does it really matter if it's with him?
Okay.
Yes,
if we can do it without him.
You are mad. I heard what
you said. You got to get
first at war. Then what does it matter?
I'm gonna answer that for you, Josh. I'm gonna answer that for you. Now, interestingly enough, one of his most important works, or well known works, is Souls of Black Folk. Booker T had a book entitled From Slavery to Freedom. And both of these men penned their best thoughts to help Negro, Black, and colored folks in America, not just in their age or the moment that they live, but in perpetuity, I would argue. And that's what I'm going to come back to. But I think we want to give 72 a chance to say, were you going to say something, 72, or was it you, St. Louis?
Yeah, he can go ahead.
You know, Du Bois was an integrationist. He worked with Mary Springard to start the NAACP, which too was integrationist.
He sure did.
He also sicked the FBI on Marcus Garvey because Marcus Garvey backed to Africa movement for some he didn't like.
He said he did it?
Yes, he did. He also tried to get Hubert Harrison fired from the post office because of the tenets that he was preaching. Not preaching, but teaching. And his elite talent intent was to create an elite group of blacks, not the common black, an elite group of blacks. That would basically be your gatekeepers for the black community today, which by which you do have. You can name some. And one organization is NAACP.
Okay. I got you. Go ahead, 72, before I chime in. Because this is interesting conversation. 72,
what say you? Well, I was just going to say that it is important. I mean, we're learning about all other kind of history, but I find it rather interesting now today that, I mean, and we still didn't learn about as much black history as we should have learned. I remember in school, and I was born in 74, learning about various people, you know, Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, different people is what I'm saying. But now, like you guys were talking about, the new generation or the younger people, younger than myself even, don't know anything about it, for one, because now it's like being just cut out, kept a secret, and it is deemed irrelevant, so to speak, or telling you that is irrelevant. I think that all things that have happened happen for a reason, and that's what's gotten us as far along today as we've gotten. So it is important to me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say this. Go ahead, Samuel.
And another thing, too. See, people have to tell both sides of the coin.
Give your
side. He put out a plea to the powers that be and spoke with General Black Jack Pershing during World War I that he wanted blacks to be put on the front line. And also, that was a time to help create what they called the Black Cross Nurses, who basically really came out of Marcus Garvey's movement. But they wanted Black Cross Nurses because of the prejudice that was going on during World War I, where if a black soldier was shot and he was down, the white nurses would step over them and go to other soldiers. Yes, those things was going on. But people kind of frowned on the fact that he wanted black soldiers to be put on the front line. And what was the purpose of that? Well, they're going to get killed for one thing, or more opt to get killed, rather than being back in the back lines working in areas of support, rather than out there on the front line fighting.
Okay.
I have a question. Do you just not like black people?
Some of them, young man, I can't, to tell you the truth, some of them I can't stand.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Some of them I can't stand. You're exactly right.
Okay. All right. So here we go, guys. Here we go. Let me tell you all why tonight we're focusing on William Edward Burghardt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that
you're focusing.
Is,
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear you.
What? Can you hear me okay now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me tell you why, as host, I spotlighted William Edward Burghardt Du Bois.
Okay.
there are at least 100 books that I've identified that I believe will bring urban American male from the heat of the ghettos of America and position them to have a view, a universal viewpoint of freedom that will liberate them and empower them wherever they go. Now, they don't have to take it. They don't have to embrace it. But in Dockery Christian Academy, everybody that comes through there will read these 100 books. This is one of them. This is one of them. Now, what do you take from it? What do you take from it? What do you
I think you've given them food for knowledge of what
well,
you have, but it also takes a person to be willing and wholeheartedly to sit and read and listen to it, because
okay.
everybody's
well,
interest may not be critiqued by what you're speaking on. At that
well, can I? 81.
I
was just
going to
share that here recently I started keeping my grandchildren during the day. And I find it, and I was trying to look for things for Black History Month to just teach them and show them about.
Right.
You know, you can YouTube and Google every other thing in the world. But start looking for some real Black history, little known facts even.
Mm-hmm.
They're hardly, you can't find them really. It's like things now are being, even things on slavery, things like it's just being just like erased. Oh, you know, it's hush hush. It's kept quiet. Now, why would I want them to know about that? Not for them to become angry or enraged, but for them to know. So knowing and understanding somebody else's plight will help them along to be compassionate and as well as take pride within themselves, so that they don't wind up in the same situation.
Yeah, I always say that. What you say is how you say it, because a lot of times we make the mistake. If adults say certain things, mean certain things and said in a different way because what went on then, I concur, is not going on now.
Well, yeah, some of it still is.
Say, like you said, and they don't have the full understanding of it, and the little kids are growing up under our wings, so on that note, even our children didn't know anything about a lot of these things we're talking about unless they took it upon themselves or their parents guided them that way because of the grandparents. But for the reality of it, when Pastor Docker, when I first was introduced to the station, he were talking about the children in the urban American world.
And I'm still talking about them right now.
And guess
what?
I think that is so many points missed that they're not even wanting to listen to what the older people got to say because they want us to hear what they saying, and we have an open ear, some of us.
Sure.
And they can't hear us because we keep going backwards instead of forwards.
Okay.
I know some people might suggest that in order to go forward, you have to go back. Well, they don't have to go back that far because they don't have, most of them don't have the knowledge of back that far.
Well, and it's like Diane 8112, somebody trying to learn about faith in God or the Bible.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they know? Shouldn't they go beyond the Bible? Shouldn't you find the lost books? Shouldn't you read the concordance? Shouldn't you put everything together so that the story that you get is the real story,
okay.
is the truth?
This is
my stuff just made up.
I understand where you're going, and I'm at a certain point with that. However, if the for those that do not know to understand this, they call some people ignorant.
This is why
they have no knowledge of what you're talking about, but if you reword it to where they get to the point where you already been and where you at and what you're talking about, I believe that then it may critique their interest enough for them to want to continue to listen to you is what I think.
Sure.
Okay, all right.
This is what they don't know. There's another thing, too. This is what they don't know. It's because
it's been thousands and thousands of years ago they put it, and then they started adding stuff, or taking back stuff, and finally, it wasn't really what we needed to see. It was something else, and so really, you can't find your answers enough nowadays, because they have done it so much. There are some times that you will be able to find some answers, but you will never find all the answers that you are looking for.
Okay.
You know all what right. I'm saying?
It's kind of like Josh, T72 was saying that.
Let me jump back in here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. That's great, great conversation. Let me jump back in here. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When a man's eyes or woman are open, don't nobody have to tell him where to go. But if either you or someone else shields your eyes from the path in front of you, you'll find yourself having a hard time maneuvering your way. Now, I was listening to you guys. I wasn't quite finished explaining why we brought it up and why I think it's relevant in 2022. There is what I believe, y'all heard me talk about this a few years ago, what I call GTS, ghetto trap syndrome. That is a conditioning of socialization that calls people, and most of the time they're not even aware why they get up this morning and want to go to McDonald's and eat breakfast. Why they got to have a pair of brand new tennis shoes. They don't even know why it is they got to drink Sprite and obey their thirst. And when they get a craving, now it's Taco Bell. It used to be White Castle. Now it's Taco Bell.
Go ahead now. I'm hearing you.
Look, they don't even understand why it is that they're prone to self-destruct. But
that's what they was brought up to know,
well, listen,
some of them.
Listen to me.
Hold on, guys. Just bear with me for a second.
It's an unconscious thing. And that's you're not supposed to see it coming. See, the lick that hurts you the most is the one you never see coming. That's the one that knocks you out. And what I'm saying is when your eyes are wide open and your mind is conscious, what Du Bois understood is after they freed these slaves, what they did not give them is the knowledge of America in the South or anywhere else, but universally. And that's what his construct was all about.
Well, you know, Du Bois was born in 1868. Slavery was over.
Okay. And?
And, you know, just like I told you before, you had people back in then that was just as prominent or more so than Du Bois. You can take
Edward Overall.
I'm just saying that people need to tell the whole story about what's going on.
No, let's stick on the top. The story is about Du Bois tonight. That's the story. We're not talking about nobody but Du Bois and this brother's contribution to the process of re-socializing and deprogramming young folk today in 2022. If you use it right, it'll work for you. He ain't the only one. No, he ain't the only one. But this brother got some stuff in there. If you dig into it, it'll set you free. And you won't have to be no slave with nobody in 2022.
There you go.
There's a whole lot of people running around right now. They think they free, but they like zombies, like the walking dead.
Yes, sir.
And it's high time. Right now. It's high time to turn that around.
See, it is. I now have seen 4 gunshots and them go to the hospital. Now.
Okay.
4.
Okay.
Every day.
Every day, John.
I've seen gunshots.
See, Josh, the point is,
why is the gunshot? Why is the children? Why do they need guns?
Yes, sir. Josh, set up.
Why are they shooting people?
Josh, let me say something to you. Children don't need guns. They don't. But ghetto trap syndrome would put guns in their hands, put dope in their hands, put alcohol in their hands.
Don't put them in their hands.
Them engaged in all kind of destructive behavior. You don't even know why you're doing it, but you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's the problem, Josh. That's the problem, bro. And some of us, namely myself, we're here to turn that around. God sent me to do it, and I'm going to do his job. That's what we're here for, Josh. That's what we're here for. You know what
Josh,
the God of the universe told me, Josh? The God of the universe told me, Doctor, if you can't do that for your people, you are no earthly good. And don't even look to come to heaven. So I'm trying to make my way to glory, Doctor.
Well, and I think that's the problem today, that everybody is just settling for what everybody else is doing and how everybody else is thinking, and then that's irrelevant and this and that. Well, no, it's not irrelevant because we need to wake up. We need to come out this coma. These children will have no future if we don't. They won't. My 3-year-old, my 4-year-old, my 6-year-old, my 10-year-old, that's important to me, that they not thinking a gun is a part of their outfit that they have on.
Wow.
It don't need to be.
Wow.
It don't need to be.
Wow.
And it was
sad. That's pretty sad.
But
it's very sad.
At the same time, they can't look at guns, the weapons, as being an enemy. The enemy is in the hand of the whole.
But they know that it's not, but they know that that's not a part of an outfit, and that a gun should be brought in a church, in a school, on a playground, any place that you're intended to be at peace at. Now, you pull a gun when you're at war, and you know you're at war. But a child should not be at war every day of their life, every time they leave their home.
Yes,
that's right.
Do you know a gun is powder that, and then you take that powder and then you shake it up and then you take it and there's other stuff that you do to make just one gun, and then if you want 2 guns and 3 guns and 4 guns, it's like trifling. Like, you don't do that.
Okay. Well, so unfortunately, there are human beings who don't know what to do with their bodies. They believe their bodies are the tools to make them money.
Yeah.
Certain parts of their body, to be specific. That's what they believe.
But why is that, Pastor?
Socially conditioned.
Why is that, Pastor?
Listen to me. They are socially conditioned through ghetto trap syndrome.
You heard what you said to me.
I just said it. Let me say it again. They are socially conditioned through a process.
How did they get that way?
That's a good question. I was just going to ask that. I know how they get that way, but yeah, how do they get that way?
That is a whole nother show. But I'll tell you one thing tonight. If you have the voice of authority of a father and a mother, they can keep them safe from it.
You can have that too, and they still may go astray.
No. You okay? You're missing what I'm saying.
That's exceptions.
They can go astray after they leave on from under my roof, but as long as they stay where I'm staying, you won't be going nowhere.
Whatever you choose to stay. Certain children, you have their mind made up, and if they get unfortunate and the streets get them,
then the streets got them. But they won't be in my house if the streets got them. And you stay out there in the street.
Hey, I'm operating from the principle. Train up a child in the way
you want him or her to go.
Listen,
I got it.
And when they get old, this is what I believe, and when they get old, they won't depart from it.
I know all about it. My daddy was my mother was a member of church all my life. I got it. I got all that. I've also seen a lot of children these days. And they're not children, they're grown folks now.
Okay.
Go astray because even with their religious backgrounds, if they had any, my point is this, my question rather is this.
Okay.
Even though you've been taught, we all been taught certain rules to follow with our parents or parents and went the other direction because when you tell someone, child, not to do something, usually they gonna do it because you see it don't. However, these days,
hold on, Jack. Come
why
back to
would they listen to people talking about 1868. What they going to listen to you talk about some stuff they don't know nothing about, especially if their parents don't have the knowledge to tell them about it.
You know what they know about?
Including the word of the good Lord. Right. And I know about it.
Josh, hold on one second. I do not listen to it from everybody. Yeah. All right. Josh, hold on one second. Let me respond to it right quick before we lose this. I don't want that to fall. The last thing I would talk to a young shouty about on the block is about Du Bois or Booker T. But I know they know what A-ball is.
Okay.
I know they know how to
talk. All of them don't.
They know what a trick
ball?
Is.
All of them don't.
St. Louis, I ain't going to say it because I don't want to mess your mind up. If you don't know it, you don't need to.
Hey, mess my mind up.
Go
ahead, Josh. Oh. But I want to finish this out because I don't want 12 to walk away without the information. She needs to know this.
Tell it
to me. Josh, please be patient with me and let me hear the pastor tell me what he wants me to
know. They know what a bottle is.
I'm not talking about a bottle of milk. I'm talking about a liquor bottle. Let the pastor tell me what he's talking about because I want to come back to what he's talking about. I want to understand. They know when you hold them. And
stuff like that. They know that bottle.
Everybody ain't holding no liquor bottle in their hand while they breastfeeding their baby.
They know that.
A bottle could be two different things. A bottle could be a bottle of cleanser for your home, milk for your child. A bottle could be alcohol for what you want.
Yeah.
When you say a bottle, it doesn't necessarily mean.
This is what they don't know.
And I drink. Believe that. I ain't got to lie to none of y'all. And I also fed my baby off the breast for food, some of them. One of them. And I also fed, it is what it is. So, Pastor, tell me what you're talking about.
So, what you're asking me is process. You're asking me about process. To reach young folks today, particularly those that are most at risk of dying before they turn 21, and some of them before they reach 15. Okay, that's what I'm talking about right now. That's the population I'm speaking of. usually they're black males. Now more and more they're becoming females. All right, some of them are more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're confused. Now, what I'm saying to you is we know what the history and what the knowledge is that is transformative, but what we need today in 2022 is to speak the language of the oppressed in order to address that. That's why you
why
hear
do
me
they
use,
have to be oppressed in order for
they don't
you
have to
address
yeah.
what's going on?
Well, what's the
younger generation, not mean babies, mean 21 and up.
Well,
and what's the language of
why?
Oppressed?
Why do they necessarily have to
Hello?
Be oppressed? Could it be?
Yeah.
We all can talk together now. We can
okay,
sing together.
Well,
we can
go
sing
go
together. La, 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 la. Somebody say,
I agree with Ruben. I agree with her. Who is this oppressed? What's this oppressed in the language? What's the language?
They don't have to.
Hold on a second, brother. Joshua, hold on a second. Let me talk.
That's never St. Louis.
I know. I'm gonna help St. Louis out tonight. St. Louis, you don't know what the word oppressed means. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to go look.
No, I know what the word means. I ask, who is the oppressors?
The oppressors now are individuals who oppress themselves through their behavior.
There you go, self-oppressed.
But the trick is they're not aware of the fact that they're oppressing themselves because they've been victims of the ghetto trap syndrome. Now, I'm not.
Well, then let me ask you this question. What concern is that of the average person? That's not the average person's concern.
It's my concern because I have to live in a world with them.
St. Louis, I'm
good.
Not
except for those who want to, but
so
that's
Louis,
not to
I'm
be that's not to be a concern
show.
Of everybody.
You're on a talk show with a host who is extraordinary and who has been called by Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God, to turn some folk around. That's why you're here.
Right.
You have to tune in to the right place. That's my
All
job.
Right.
That's why we get down like we get down.
Shut
your mouth.
I'm just
asking a question.
I wasn't done.
As honestly as I know how. There are people, unfortunately, who are oppressed. And no, nobody has a hand on the press.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken the chains off their arms and off their wrists and off their ankles and put it on their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the word of God said, whom the Son has set free is indeed. I come that you might have
I'm
life and get more abundant.
I'm trying to ask you a question. Now, you're a doctor, and what you do, I'm trying to ask you something.
Okay,
how do you know when you are an oppressed person?
The best indication of being oppressed, well, is when you realize you can't do what you want to do. You know
that's
you're
right. Yeah.
You
okay,
give us an example.
For
no, he's telling me something. I'm trying to learn something. Let me learn.
Okay, I'm trying to teach you. There
but St. Louis trying to tell me something else. Now, y'all got to make your mind up.
Hold on, listen to me. There are people who say, I'm going to be a rap star.
Okay.
Let's say they're 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all they do is to go and dress up a certain way, and they walk around with, you know, looking like people they see rapping. But guess what they're not doing? They're not even learning about the industry of rap and how successfully...
Okay.
Studio.
I got
I'll
it.
Give you an example of the state of your life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they don't realize is what they do every day determines where they're going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
They look
wow.
up. They look up.
Wow.
And they got hair all on their face. They musty and funky. And they still walk around grabbing themselves trying to rap. And don't
that
even realize 5 years time got past them.
Okay.
And they killing
well, you kind of remind me of Ahmaud Arbery back in 2017 with that incident he had with the police. You ever see that video?
Don't talk about that deceased man.
Right, please.
What are you talking about? Du Bois, he did.
That's hurtful.
Don't talk about that. Yes, Pastor, go ahead. Let's talk about something else, please.
So when you made mention about rapping,
hey, Pastor, the floor,
that was a good example.
Okay. Go ahead, Pastor. Let Pastor have the floor.
8112, check this out. I'm going to share this right here because when he spoke about the trap is real. It's way big old world, right? It's a great big world. And there's a wide and broad avenue to go down. Yes. Have you ever heard of that song? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have heard of this song. And it says, lost in a great big city. You need to go back home where you belong.
Come back to yes, sir.
And then, no, this is the temptation talking about this right here. You know, and then when he said you lost in this great big city,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you say, come in and take a look at your mind. You'd be surprised at what you might find. And then all of a sudden you get out there so far, then you're lost in the great big city.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you ought to go back home where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see, once a person find out that they are lost in a great big
mm-hmm.
city,
mm-hmm.
and they come to themselves, that's why when the scripture is talking mm-hmm. about raising up a child in the way it should go, that's
yeah.
when you train it, correct? But once
that's
they venture out, then they realize that, oh, I got to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Where I belong. Lost in this big city. In other words, it came to themselves. And
mm-hmm.
that happens sometimes when people are up under good parenting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once they step out, that's why something different is going to have to take place to strip the enemy from his power, because there's no need in thinking that there is an enemy, because it is, and that's how people get lured in. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over. I got to say this, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Timothy, it's still there. Chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, and that we may come to our senses and escape the trap of the devil taken captive by him to do his will. So that tells me right there that there is somebody that can be on the front line that they're trying to get knocked off, trying to get them killed while they lay back and punch it. That's an enemy's move right there. Because why would you want to get me on the front line when you know I'm getting ready to be harmed? While you sit back and watch me be harmed. So that's what a trap is. So when
mm-hmm.
we come to our senses, we can escape that. But we have to first come to our senses. I didn't know no better. I was out there and caught up and twisted out in a great big city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't even know who I am. But one day I came to myself. And that's why I'm sharing this, because it does happen. Some people get caught up in that trap and don't intend to get caught up in that trap. But if you set a trap for me, and you know you set that trap for me and it snatched me up, that means you've done that intentional.
Exactly.
So some of them things we're talking about is still going on today. It's just using another form.
That's true.
Pastor Waller, back in the day, it used to be Jim Crow. But guess who it is now?
Yep.
Little Mookie on the block. Big T telling them. I mean, now, I'm sorry to say that, because we look alike and, you know, we both of the same ethnic group and in the same community, but they are the oppressors too.
That's right.
I mean, and they are the ones setting the traps in those situations. Those are traps.
They make sure we have enough of what we need to get off into the trap.
Yes.
And you correct.
Agreed.
To keep the children out the trap.
TRS-1 said it best when he said
it
is self-destruction. Now, here's the thing. The closest people to him are going to be their salvation. Jesus Christ, Superman, the Easter Bunny, ain't none of them coming to save him.
Nope.
Ain't none of them coming to save him. You're going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll go if I have to go all by myself.
I'm going
to
say this. As a grandparent, as a mother, as a person that reach out to children that feel like they're lost for whatever the reason they have been over all these years, I would say this is that what I've learned over the years is that I can do this. Excuse me. I can voice my opinion. I can express my heart and soul to them. I can even come down to what they're talking about. I can shut up and listen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've seen it made a difference when I didn't even think they was paying attention to me.
Right.
They were.
Okay.
That's it. That's
they
it.
They were. And I'm grateful for that. And I can say that wholeheartedly.
Pastor, what'd you do with the clock, man?
We down to 10 minutes, man. I don't know what you're doing with the clock. You done run up all the time. Run up the time.
Can I say
I'll part with this, guys, then we'll go around the room here. Game, no games. And if you coming with a little with game, they're going to peep the game. See, if they don't learn nothing else, they unconsciously, they know they can know they know game when they see it. So you got to come real.
Sure.
Your heart has to be pure and right. Otherwise, they'll call
you
game. And some of them might bust a cap in you when they see you playing games. So be careful.
Yeah.
You ain't ready, don't go out.
That's right.
All right, let me do this. Let me go around the room. Let me go around the room. Joshua, give me a final thought, little brother.
Well, you can talk, but really, what you talking about?
Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense, Josh. That makes sense.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. What about it, 72? Give me a final thought.
Well, I just think today we're living in a terrible time, and things were simpler back then, and we need to remember that and teach back then to our children today.
All right. We appreciate you joining us, 72, anytime. You know me, Papa. Mohammed. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. What about it there, 8112? Final thought? You've been great tonight.
My final thought is that these days were spoken upon biblically. We are now here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to utilize what God gives to me to try to make me and others better.
Okay.
And hope and pray for the best and hoping everybody be safe.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, good word. Y'all done talk. Y'all done learn me something here tonight. Y'all done learn me something. All right, St. Louis. What you got for me, man? We got work our way out of here. Got anything for me? All right. Look like St. Louis is gone. Having said that, Pastor Waller.
Hey, man. Praise God. Hey, it's been a wonderful, I would say, time tonight, man, of having the ladies back and Joshua back and
yeah.
St. Louis is on the block, man. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Dockery, it is nothing like bringing forth the power of togetherness and becoming on one accord.
Yes,
and
sir.
Stir up the gifts. That's what the word talks about, stirring up the gifts of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about what it would be like when it comes down to redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Hmm.
In other words, to redeem means to bring back, to restore.
Hmm.
And that means that if you hear somebody talking about the good old days, that would be awesome where a person can be able to acknowledge how wonderful it would be to be able to just know that he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without.
Hmm.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Mm.
You know, and that's what we do. We need to walk in wisdom toward those who are without. So there are people that probably would catch on if we walk in wisdom toward them. You see, that's why we got to come out of these buildings, and I speak about it a lot. And that's not to, for self-gratification, but it is to become aware of if we don't go out to reach them, then how would they know?
Right.
You know, if we have some information, and I believe that the Bible, 3072, and I believe that 8112, that the Bible have a lot of good information in it. Would you agree with that? And so if it has the information, Pastor Dockery, what's wrong with taking it to the people who are lost without it?
Mm-hmm.
And give them a chance to know that, okay, he said, go out into the world and encourage people.
Mm-hmm.
What are we supposed to do? If we good news, take it to them. And that's how I believe we can redeem the time, and kids can be outside playing, don't have to worry about the drive-bys and things that they have come up with now. You know what I mean? Because that's what's on the agenda right now, man. They're enjoying what they're doing, whether people believe it or not. I'll say this, and then I'm going to have to turn it over, because God is an awesome God, and he wants us to be able to expose the enemy. Just two nights ago, someone gave me a text and say, pray for this particular area because it was just like Afghanistan last night.
Mm.
That's what they said to me. Could you imagine? That means it was a lot of gunfire. And black amongst each other. What in the world are we going to do? We can't afford to just lock the word up on the inside. We got to take it on the outside. So be encouraged, everybody. I got a lot of everybody tonight. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor. It's time to redeem the time, man, because the days are evil. The scripture said that.
Well, the trap setter, i.e. the enemy, needs to know we're coming for you. And ain't no stopping it now. Look out.
You got to get out.
We'll be back next week for another episode of Talk Station, where we'll be talking to you about what we're talking about.